Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to The Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here again with Suzanne Weber-Smotko, Manager of Consulting Services here at Core Business Solutions. Glad you could be with us here again today, Suzanne.
Thank you, X. Glad to be here.
Today's show is entitled Life After the Audit. Once we've had our audit, corrected our findings, now we're certified, what goes on after that? We're going to take you through all of that today. If you've listened to the Quality Hub before, you may already be familiar with Suzanne Weber-Smotko, but if you haven't, let's learn a little bit more about what she does.
Hi, X. Well, I'm the Manager of Consulting Services here at CORE, and I also consult and help businesses get certified and implement a quality management system and get them through certification. I've been in quality for a little over 30 years. I've probably held every title from quality clerk to a senior leadership role.
Quite extensive. Wow, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't want to age myself, X, but...
I would have never guessed.
I most of my background is aerospace. I've dabbled in a little bit of supplier performance and ISO 9000, implementing global management systems. So glad to be here.
We're glad to have you here and with all of your expertise and experience, which is just amazing considering you're 29.
I started really, really young.
Wow, yes, yes. All right, so... We've talked about most of what we do as a company to get ready for our certification audit. So our external audit's complete and we get our audit report. Could you explain to us a little bit in detail, what do those audit report findings mean?
Sure. When you're having an audit by a third-party registrar, they're coming in, or most audits, they're coming in to look at an example to make sure that you're compliant to certain elements of the standard that lay out requirements. And that report is basically objective evidence of whether an organization or your company is adhering to principles and requirements as prescribed in whatever standard that you're getting certified to.
So if it's a quality management system and it's ISO, we're talking about 9000.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. If it's aerospace, it's AS9100 and so on and so forth. So, you know, you get that report back and the auditor is going to document their findings based on what they've observed during that time that they're spending with you.
Okay, so the registrar comes in looking at if you're meeting the requirements for your standard. Do you find that registrars are different in how they look at things?
You know what? Every auditor is different. Every auditor looks at things differently. However, they're looking for compliance to a specific standard. There's no objectivity in the standard. It's black and white. It defines what the requirement is. Although you will get different auditors with different levels of experience that look at things a little bit differently. So your findings will be written up against the standard, or your findings should be written up against if you're non-compliant to the standard. However, there are lots of registrars out there, or auditors out there, I should say, that will also, during that time, provide to you maybe some best practices on how you can do something that that you can improve upon. So I guess they would also suggest opportunities for improvement.
Okay. Well, and I know that we here at Core Business Solutions have some registrars that we recommend, that we are familiar with, that they know our process, how we work in consulting and training and things like that, that we provide to our customers.
Sure.
So they're familiar with that. But not everybody's going to be that way. Not everybody's going to pick a registrar that we may have worked with before.
That's correct. But the nice thing about that is we're consistent in how we deliver and help businesses get or implement their quality management system, right? I mean, we go through a project checklist that is inherent to make sure that we've captured all of the requirements and make sure that the companies are compliant before they even go into an external audit.
That's the nice thing about the standard, that there are some requirements, but they don't tell you how to do it.
That's correct.
So you, as a company, can kind of decide some of that. This is how we're going to handle this. And our consultants are aware of this is what is prescribed by the standard. This is how we help you to get there.
Yeah.
And give you suggestions on how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, we're not looking to overturn anybody's business and tell them how to do things differently. We're looking at how they're already, at what they're already doing and how we can incorporate that into the quality management system. We're not looking to change processes. We're not looking to change any of that stuff. So the standard, to your point, the standard, it tells you what the requirement is. It doesn't tell you how you have to meet it.
So I know that it doesn't always happen, but sometimes you may have findings in your audit report. How should you respond to those findings And I know that you have to respond to them and take care of them before you get your certification, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. So you want to make sure that you respond to them in a timely manner. If an auditor writes you up for a non-compliance and gives you a finding, then obviously there's something wrong and it can be impacting, you know, other services or product or processes. You want to get to the root cause of findings.
Yeah, you want to find what's causing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to definitely get to the root cause. You know, you'd be surprised on how many people struggle with actually getting to the root cause to make sure that they implement the right corrective actions. You know, for people who don't have experience, you know, you want to ask yourself at least the five whys in trying to get to a root cause. But,
right.
You know, with the root cause, you're going to identify specific actions that you're going to take as a business to rectify and come into compliance with the standard before you submit them back to your auditor. And you always, always want to submit any objective evidence that you identified as a result of your corrective actions. So if you did a root cause on a finding and found that maybe you don't have a defined process, and you go ahead and you write a procedure or a process that would make your approach clearer, you know, you want to train the applicable employees to that process that you're writing. So when you submit a corrective action, you always want to submit the objective evidence along with it. What that means is you want to submit the process that wasn't defined. So whatever, if it's a procedure or work instruction, and then you want to train the applicable people because you've just implemented a new process. You want to send those training records to the auditor because the auditor's thinking about all of it, right? How it affects everybody.
And they just don't want to have you say, oh, yeah, we found the problem. We're going to fix it.
Yeah.
You're going to say, hey, this is how we went through and fixed the problem
that you found
the finding on.
Right.
And I know that with our consultants here at CORE, we have documentation, resources, training that help in root cause analysis.
Oh, absolutely.
That really helps when you do have findings.
You would be very, very surprised on how much we support our customers with addressing findings from an external audit or an internal audit. And this could probably be a podcast in itself because root cause and corrective action is not a lot of people know how to do a thorough one. But one of the common pitfalls of replying to a finding is that people want to reinstate what the problem is instead of actually identifying what the true root cause is. You know, back to how you want to respond to those findings, timely, get to the root cause, submit any evidence that you can to the auditor to give them the comfy cozy that you have addressed it throughout the business.
All right, so we've done that. We've responded in the proper way. We've got our certification. We've got the piece of paper. We can put it up on our wall. Oh my gosh, we went through all of this stuff. How do we promote that to our customers, to our interested parties? Say, hey, we're certified now. Maybe that one contract that you really needed to have the certification for, how do you communicate that to them?
Place your certifications in your company brochures, on your website. You can put your ISO or AS logo on your letterheads. Inform potential customers about your certification using promotional materials if you should take advantage of that opportunity to get them from CORE. We provide promotional packages that are really, really nice.
Lori, who is our marketing vice president, she makes sure that every person that gets certification has some stuff that we come from.
Absolutely, and it's really nice. So I would recommend taking advantage of that. But if you don't, promote internally, promote your certification in appropriate forums.
So when you actually do promote it internally, you're talking to those people that helped define the processes. You know, tell them about it. Hey, we did it. You guys did it. You know, that's going to help morale. It's going to be that engagement that you want with your employees.
Absolutely.
It's not just a piece of paper.
That's correct. Because before you even get your certification, those employees are part of that audit sometimes, right? And most times they need to know what the quality policy is. It is a good way for morale. You're absolutely right. You should engage the employees as you're going through the certification process just by informing them that you're going for certification. But what I have done in my past life is once we've gotten certified in a business, I used to get one of those tapestry signs. Mm-hmm. It was ABC company, you know, an AS9100 certified company. Everybody sort of pledged. Everybody came, they signed it.
Now, was this one of those ones you sewed yourself?
No.
Or was it just a big one that you had,
no,
you had
just
made?
Okay. A big one that I had made. But it kind of gave all the employees, it was kind of a pledge to their contribution to helping us get certified because it was a big endeavor at the time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Definitely engage the employees. But once you're certified, it doesn't end there.
No. I actually was going to ask you about that. people can feel like, hey, we got the piece of paper, we're done, this is great. There certainly needs to be a sense of accomplishment there that we talked about, and that you've completed something, we've done this, you know, we've won the Super Bowl of sorts. But as soon as they're done, you know, you celebrate for a week or two, and you're back at it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to do that with this too, because this isn't the end.
Right.
Of your quality management system. It's actually just the beginning, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to sustain your quality management system, or else you lose your certification. It's as simple as that. You know, once you're certified, it's time to mature your quality management system. This means holding your management reviews at the frequency that you defined. It means get your internal audits done every single year. Report out on your quality objectives. Identify improvements on your quality objectives or any other things that you can identify to measure to make improvements. You know, one of the things that I experience a lot with my clients is that they don't document all the great initiatives and things they do to improve their business every year.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're certified, you have to show evidence that you're committed to continuous improvement. And if you don't write it down, you can't show evidence. And you would be so surprised, I used this in my past life as well, you would be so surprised that when you write things down on everything that you've done, at the end of the year, you look at the list and you go, wow, yeah, we did a lot. Yeah. Because when it lives in everybody's head, people don't know that.
Well, like you said, if you're not measuring it,
yeah,
you can't really look at it.
So continual improvement, documenting continual improvement, making sure that you're consistently identifying risks and actions to mitigate any risks. You want to make sure that you're documenting your nonconformances and corrective actions and documenting your customer feedback. All of this is the root of a good improvement plan. Everything that we tell you that is a requirement that you have to document in the standard is not because people just want to see you document it.
Right. Right.
It's there because we want to see you do trends and analysis on that and just improve the company based on what that data is telling you.
Well, quality is not one and done. I mean,
absolutely,
it just isn't. And most businesses, either you're moving forward or you're falling back.
Yeah.
There's not a stagnant place to live.
That's correct.
I mean, there's always outside influences that are affecting you and internal influences that are affecting you. So if you're not measuring, if you're not paying attention to that quality improvement consistently, you might be the only one that manufactures something or provides a service. And now you have somebody, hey, we're doing the same thing now. Oh my goodness. You know, that's something you've got to figure out how you're going to continually prove to your current customers and potential future customers, hey, we still have the best out there.
Yeah, because it's evident if you don't.
Right.
It's evident if you don't. It's evident if you let things go and just try to catch up right before an audit. And I'm passionate about quality. I'm passionate about making people, again, see the value in the quality management system. Your leadership will thank you for it. If you engage yourself,
yes,
your leadership will thank you for it, because it certainly will improve your bottom line.
So many people get into being certified to a quality management system because they have to. And they lose sight of the value of this really can make a huge difference to our customers and to the bottom line of our business.
I've seen it over and over again, and it's a great thing.
Any good stories that you might have with, you know, somebody who may have started out really, oh gosh, we have to do this, I don't want to do it. And then at the end, they really get the lights on. Oh my goodness.
People don't understand, you know, this whole thing about, you know, it's not managed if it's not measured.
Right. Right.
And those aha moments, once again, of people seeing the implementation of their quality management system take shape. And then once they get to the certification phase, it's our jobs to make sure that they understand the value in that and why you're measuring things. And just to see people get, you know, engaged.
Right.
You know, to the point where they're like, wow, like, I never really thought of my quality management system like this. I thought it was just a piece of paper and I just have to document this stuff for no reason. Mm-hmm. So these customers, they see all of that start to transpire in front of their eyes. And then they realize that, you know, these quality management systems have the value.
They see their quality go up. Yeah. They see employee morale go up.
Yeah.
They see their bottom line get better.
Yeah. And they start seeing their internal management team start to get strategically aligned. There's all too often where companies, they don't speak strategically. They don't act strategically. They work in silos. Mm-hmm. You know, part of what we do is making sure that they have some strategic alignment when we're doing management reviews, or that they're involved in setting up their SIPOC diagrams or for their key processes. and you're getting ownership of those managers where they thought, you know, they were going to give this project to one person. And, right. you know, so when you start engaging more people in the business, it's really nice to see that kind of evolve into just a better program during their ISO certification project.
That's great. That's great to hear. Well, I cannot tell you how much we've enjoyed this. I mean, it's, you know, this is certainly a journey, and you've been with us for a couple of these podcasts, and the journey of learning about the beginnings of the quality management system, but certainly not the ends. Cannot thank you enough for being here. You know, your experience, it's just been a joy to talk with you and to hear some of your stories and your passion about what you have for quality management systems for all the businesses that you help and we help here at Core Business Solutions. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, X. I can always talk quality.
Awesome. And thank everybody here who has listened to our podcast today. We hope it's been informative. And be sure to check out next week's Quality Hub podcast. Thanks and have a great day.